Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. A new NFL policy that requires all players to stand during the national anthem or stay in the locker room has reignited the debate about the First Amendment in football. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the new policy allows the league to punish teams if their players are not respectful.
We want people to be respectful at the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe.
President Trump, who last fall said players should be fired if they refused to stand, weighed in on the policy today.
I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still, I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem.
Joining us to talk about this in studio is Howard Bryant. He's a senior writer at ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. Thanks. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Also with us, Shira Springer, sports and society reporter at WBUR. Hi there, Shira.
Hello, Deb.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. What do you make of this new NFL policy? Do you think players should stay in the locker room if they want to take a knee? Should the teams be fined if the players are not respectful during the national anthem? What do you consider respectful? Call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Howard, let's start with you. Why do you think the NFL decided to make this decision, and why now?
Well, I think that they made the decision because they are in the middle of essentially attacking their players. It's an interesting, timing-wise, it's very interesting because they just not a couple of days ago ratified a relationship with the players of the Players Coalition for Social Justice. They're going to have this $90 million partnership over to battle social justice concerns that the players have. And then just a few days, 72 hours later, they do this. And so I think it's a labor issue. It's always been a labor issue to sort of let the players know who's boss. And also, I think the players have said that they are going to respond to this in kind. So it's a very strange thing, timing-wise. I think that the players are going to respond in a very bad way. And I think that the players and the owners have started up again something that they thought was settled when they agreed on this partnership back in December.
So you think we're going to see sort of...
I think you're going to see some form of demonstration. I don't think that the players are going to take this line down. I talked to some Players Association representatives last night, and they said, this is fuel. This is not over.
I think you're also going to start to see lawsuits as well. I think the NFL Players Association is weighing that. I think there will be, when the season starts, people sort of testing the boundaries of this new policy and seeing where their right to free speech ends and the league's right to, you know, what they say is conduct detrimental to the team. And you know, those laws that are collectively bargained or those rules that are collectively bargained, where those begin.
This was an end around as well.
Exactly.
The Players Association didn't have any say on this whatsoever.
And that's part of the huge sort of kerfuffle with the Players Association in the sense that, you know, the players didn't have a say. And they were led all the way along to believe that they would have some say in this.
But, you know, we do have a piece of tape here from Roger Goodell saying that players' voices were listened to. So we just in fairness, let's listen.
There's been incredible engagement with the players on this. We've talked to tens, if not hundreds, of players about this over the last year or so to get their input, to understand their positions. And again, to respect those, as I think was stated here.
Shira Springer, that's Roger Goodell.
I'm not buying it.
No.
I don't think you do either, Howard.
No,
I mean, I just don't buy it. And let's also be clear that one of the owners, in fact, abstained from the vote. I believe it's Jed York, who owns the 49ers,
right.
Because he felt the players' voices weren't listened to enough and that he wanted to poll his own players and see where they came down on this issue.
Now, ever since last season, when the Players Coalition, this group of players, beginning with Malcolm Jenkins and Anquan Boldin and some of the other players, began negotiating directly with Roger Goodell over creating this fund and creating some sort of partnership over social justice, the splinter group of players who were not big fans of this Players Coalition, the Colin Kaepernick wing of the party, as we call them, Eric Reed and Russell Okung and some of those players, they didn't really trust this relationship. And they had always believed that this relationship was – designed to divide and conquer the union. And the union themselves now start to see this strategy happening, that maybe Roger Goodell is completely correct that he's speaking with tens of hundreds of players. But by doing it without the union involved, there's your end around, and that's your sort of divide and conquer. And that's why the players that separated from the Players Coalition, the Eric Reeds and the Marcus Peters, those players didn't trust this. They didn't trust the NFL owners. It's one of the reasons why I felt that the NFL players should have been ashamed of themselves for making that deal, because how could you possibly go into business with owners that are blackballing two of your players? Because one of the things when we talk about lawsuits, you have to remember that this is also taking place when the NFL Players Association has concurrent collusion lawsuits on behalf of Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just want to ask, first, who we haven't heard from here is Robert Kraft, as far as I know. Shira, what's any reaction? What's Patriots?
Seen any reaction from Robert Kraft, and he's not alone among the owners. I mean, for the most part, with the exception of a couple owners, they have remained silent in the wake of the policy announcement. Players have not. So there have been some players, particularly two Eagles players, who have been quite vocal in their objections to this new policy. And just for reference, there's the Philadelphia Eagles player, Chris Long, and he said,
Former Patriot, correct.
And he said, this is fear of a diminished bottom line. It's also fear of a president turning the base against a corporation. This is not patriotism. His Philadelphia Eagles teammate, Malcolm Jenkins, said what the NFL owners did today was thwart the players' constitutional rights to express themselves and use our platform to draw attention to social injustice like racial inequality in our country. And I think that, to me, from what I've heard from players, represents more of the players' perspective on this issue.
We've got full lines here. Our callers want to weigh in. And a reminder, callers, if you want to join our conversation, the number to call is 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Barbara is calling from Newton. Barbara, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think definitely that this is against the First Amendment, that everybody has a right to protest peacefully, and the players have no less right than anybody else. But I just wonder why the players don't decide to put their money where their mouth is and walk out.
Okay.
And just not play until their rights are reinstated.
Okay. Barbara, thanks for the call. I also want to hear from Steve, who's calling from Malden. Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, I believe, this is really going against the players and their free speech, and they should all band together and really, the principle, all take knees regardless of what it is. And if they have to walk out, do what they have to do. I mean, it's a sign of principle, I think.
Okay, let's talk with both of our guests in studio about this. So both Steve and Barbara saying, okay, players, walk out. Do something. Why don't they do something then? Shira.
Well, I think that's easier said than done because, you know, when we think of players, I think we often think of Tom Brady and the multi-million dollars that he makes and the job security that he has. And, you know, he's basically secure financially for the rest of his life. That is not the situation for the vast majority of the players. So taking a stand, as they have seen with Colin Kaepernick, can mean the end of their career. Mm-hmm. So it's not simply a question of why don't they all band together and protest. I think we talked about the disunity among the players. For some players, the end of the career of this represents potentially ending their career or making a move that could end their career. And for some, it's just not a risk they can quite frankly afford to take.
Yeah. You know, Howard, you mentioned Colin Kaepernick and the collusion lawsuit. Explain to us just very briefly what's happened with him since all of this started.
Well, it's still pending. He when you say all of this, meaning.
But he took the knee.
When he first
he started
took the knee,
this,
he started the entire.
And then he.
Yes,
what
he
happened
played
to
the,
him
he
after
played
that?
The 2016 season.
Yep.
And then to start 2017, he opted out of his contract because the 49ers told him that they were going to cut him anyway, so he wanted to get a jump on finding another job, and that was the last that was the last time he was really in the job market. No teams called him. He had two conversations with the Baltimore Ravens and another one with the Seattle Seahawks, but no team asked him to come in and do an actual workout. He hasn't thrown a football for anybody since his last game with the 49ers, January 1st, 2017.
You know, there are some folks who might say, well, NFL is a private company, right? Players are subject to discipline or termination. If they don't follow the rules, you follow the company rules, period. That's sort of the way it goes.
But those weren't the company rules.
Yeah.
There was no company rule there.
But they're making a company rule right now. This is it, right? You don't stand. You go in the locker room if you have an issue, and that's the rule. Just wondering. Yeah.
I mean, I think that you know, listen, that's a valid viewpoint for some. It is indeed a private company. But it is one thing to add. With the Colin Kaepernick thing, though, you know, the news today about the fact that the NFL took a poll on how fans would feel if Colin Kaepernick came back to play. I mean, I think there is this sense that the owners are entitled to control everything, that they are, you know,
that's right,
pulling the puppet strings. And I think that's where the problem lies. Yes, they're a private company, but it's the way they're treating their employees, the way they're treating the players. I mean, I've heard this time and time again, you know, in reference to what's happening now. And what's happening, the way that the power dynamics are in the NFL, they call it a plantation system. And I don't think that's far off.
Well, there's a few things. Well, one of the things that I did is just finished a book on this, The Heritage, all about patriotism and protest and black athletes. And one of the points of that book is very important to me, which is, one, you are sending a message that this sport, this league, the NFL, which is very different from the NBA in terms of how they've dealt with patriotism and some of these things, that the NFL is essentially joining this culture war. They are pandering to the president right now, and they are doing so at a time when you have Roger Goodell talking about being respectful of the flag. The National Football League for the past 6 years had been taking money from the Department of Defense to stage patriotism at their games. That is not respectful. That is capitalism. That is commercializing the sport. That is profiting off of two wars that have been fought over the last 17 years. And so when you talk about respect, how respectful is it that the New England Patriots had taken almost $300,000 from the Massachusetts National Guard to stage patriotic displays at games, whether it's flyovers, whether it's free tickets for soldiers, whether it's induction swearing-ins on the field, all of those things. That's the first thing. The second thing is the entire notion of this being a private company. It is somewhat a private company. However, virtually every team in the league has taken public money for their stadiums. These are our tax dollars that are paying for their stadiums. And so if this is really going to be a private industry where the fan and the public has no say, then you should build your own stadiums and you shouldn't be taking any tax money from anybody.
Okay. I want to go to the callers. Our lines are completely full. Eric is calling from Dorchester. Eric, you're on the air.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. This is absurd, and I just see it. You know, for years, NFL players have referred to the NFL as the no fun league. And I can just see, you know, a hashtag movement starting of the no freedom league, because this is
a good one.
Complete disrespect of the First Amendment. I mean, yes, you know, it is a private business, but, you know, it is vastly, you know, majority African Americans that make up these players that, you know, provide all this income for these, you know, wealthy older white guys that are now trying to take away, you know, one major platform that these guys to try to speak out against something that means something to them. And it is just absurd. And I completely agree to the point that they are literally just catering to Donald Trump and trying to save the base. And it really is I see it as a bottom line issue. Like, they're just trying to save revenue. But I got to tell you, I really think with this one that they shot themselves in the foot. I think the backlash on this is going to be enormous. And like I said, I can just see a hashtag No Freedom League coming from this. And I think they paved a tough road for themselves. But that's it. That's all I got. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks so much, Eric. I want to go now to Lauren, who's calling from Brookline. Lauren, you're on the air.
Thank you. It's Lola. But yes, okay. I was actually calling, and I really wanted to talk about if the actual reason for their sitting or kneeling during the actual anthem is being spoken about or being drowned out. By
drowned out?
Talking about,
yes,
oh,
drowned out.
Yeah, so, heavily. And it feels like a lot of these issues that we've heard from the president, he has a very easy way of saying, oh, let's talk about this now, though. And then we're focusing on this. And the whole main point of the issue seems to be falling in the background. It reminds me of students and their activism now speaking on gun violence. Mm-hmm. And all these things are being shut down. Like, you should be in class. You shouldn't be protesting. Don't skip class anymore. And now it's getting to be a point where everything that's actually being done to protest is being washed aside and being, you shouldn't be doing that. We're making rules so you can't do that
but
anymore.
But what could the NFL have done to sort of reach a middle ground here, which is what it says it was trying to do? What would have been better?
They should have done nothing.
Nothing.
They should have done nothing.
Okay.
Because I feel like by making a move, you've picked a side and now you've alienated people more. You've polarized the issue even more so now.
Okay. Thanks so much for the call. And so I'm wondering if both of you can weigh in on this. I mean, was there a way to reach a middle ground here or no?
So first of all, I just want to say he's absolutely right. The caller, Laurent, is absolutely right about the fact that, you know, we have completely twisted what this protest was about. It was about, you know, police brutality and social injustice, and it's turned into, you know, a protest against the flag. I think it's also interesting to note that the NBA actually has the same policy as the NBA, as the NFL just put in place. They require players to stand and stand respectfully for the national anthem. But I think there is the way in which the NBA instituted that, and it's I want to say it's a decades-old policy. Adam Silver has said it's been in place since he has been with
96.
The league. So decades-old policy. And I think the way in which the NBA treats its players, the way in which the NBA responds to racist owners, to racist incidents, all create a different, I guess, vibe around the way in which they go, you know, about instituting policies regarding the national anthem. So I don't know if it's to do nothing, but there is a way to do it and a way to disseminate the message in a way that is respectful of the players and their freedom and the right to voice their beliefs. And the NFL did exactly the opposite.
Well, you could empower your players or you could silence them. And the NFL is not trying to empower their players. There's nothing in these policies and nothing in this conversation over the past couple of years that suggests any form of partnership with the players. That's the fundamental difference between the NBA and the NFL. The NFL does not care about partnership with these players. These players are mules. They're there to work. And they are not there to share in the profits. They do all of these things reluctantly. The NBA has had its own problems. But if there's one thing that the NBA has done very well on this subject is they have allowed their players and their coaches. Let's not forget that when we talk about this.
Steve Kerr and Popovich, exactly.
And Stan Van Gundy, even though he got fired. But when he had a job.
When he had a platform also, with the Pistons, yes.
That's right. Same thing. And that LeBron James, the biggest player, the biggest athlete in the United States, has used his platform, and he hasn't been silenced. He hasn't been treated the way NFL players are treated by their management.
But I think there's also an important compare and contrast with the NBA, too, which was yesterday, at hours after the NFL released this policy.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Exactly. The mm-hmm. Milwaukee Bucks, a Milwaukee Bucks player, Sterling Brown. There was video of him being tased, an incident of police brutality, basically. And
police say the officers were disciplined.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. But here's what the key difference was. The Milwaukee Bucks, the league, the city, fellow players, the NBA rallied around Sterling Brown and said, this is wrong. We're going to adjust, you know, we're going to address this, and we are in this with you. You would never, ever see the same response from somebody
exactly.
in the NFL.
Sure, what you've got here is the NFL has decided to join this culture war. They have decided that they are going to create a wedge between their players and the public that they seem to feel that there's a strategy here that will benefit them to treat their players as unpatriotic.
And they're doing that because polling says that their fan base, the core of their fan base, supports that side, the patriotic, for the anthem, don't kneel side of the culture war.
Howard, what would you say? I mean, how could or could they have at all reach some sort of middle ground here? What would it look like?
Well, I think a message is also being sent to the black consumer as well, and the white consumers who disagree with what's taking place. They are daring the public to challenge this $13 billion industry. What could it look like? Well, it could look many different ways. I think one of the ways that it could look is empower your players to speak. You can say, look, our numbers show that people don't want you to challenge the flag no matter what your reasons are. However, just as the NBA does, we encourage you to use your voice. We encourage you to speak. We're going to live up to this $90 million deal we made with the players. And right now, it doesn't look like that at all. It looks like the players were bought off. And it's only going to create more bad blood.
But do the numbers really – what do we know about the numbers? Because it's about money. Do they suggest that fans are so angry that they're not watching games?
No, they don't. Nor do the numbers definitively show the reason why people are not watching. Some people aren't watching because they don't want to see the violence anymore. Some of them aren't watching because of concussion. Some of them aren't watching because the games are terrible. Some of them aren't watching because they don't know what a catch is anymore in the NFL. There are all kinds of different reasons why people aren't watching, and yet they've focused in on one thing. And I do believe that the message is being sent to the black player and to the black consumer. What are you going to do about this? And now we'll find out how much this means to people when they feel like their feelings about the sport are being threatened.
And I think there's also in the fall going to be a sort of a false sense of reinforcement that they did the right thing, because ratings are going to go up primarily because of sports betting. You know, that new Supreme Court ruling is going to increase the number of TV viewers because that's what betting does. But I guarantee you, at some point, we will have President Trump get up there and see what the NFL did,
take credit for it and
point to the increased ratings and see that as reinforcement that the NFL made the right decision.
So do you think that sports betting ruling from the Supreme, that's an interesting theory, had an effect on what the league has done here because they know that it may not harm their ratings anyway?
Yeah, I think every...
Everything's in play here.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's in play. And every sports league will see a bump in their ratings because of that ruling.
Okay, I want to go to some callers. Sarah is calling from Milton. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about the connection you guys have brought up about the base and really missing the whole message and connecting it to somehow kneeling is disrespecting our veterans. And I'm married to a combat veteran. I asked him about this. And, you know, he's never felt this way, and his friends have never felt that they're somehow being disrespected by someone peacefully exercising their right. And it's just so disappointing to see this ruling. The one thing I hope comes out of all this is that people maybe start to realize this whole commercialized patriotism where it's all money and that some of it's all fake and smoke and mirrors kind of a thing. And that's all I had to say.
Okay, Sarah, thanks so much for the call. You know, she brings up a good point here, respectful. What is respectful, and what are we saying about that?
Exactly. Well, like I said, that, Deborah, that's one of the things. You know, we spend so much time talking about black athletes and whether they kneel, whether they don't kneel, whether they're patriotic, whether they're not patriotic. But one of the points that I tried to make in this book as well was to talk about this idea of who gets to be the patriot, of what is patriotism, and that you have a sport that is essentially pitting its players as being, or positioning its players as being un-American. When to me, the true disrespect is profiting off of veterans and their suffering and the wars and everything, that we're actually selling war at the ballpark.
I think one of the interesting things is going to be how every team interprets this policy, because there is some wiggle room for them to do what they want.
Well, if you raise a fist during the national anthem,
is
as
that
people
respectful?
Have said,
yeah.
Of course it's not respectful.
But can they? I mean, it seems
like
they will be standing. They will not be kneeling.
That's right.
So, you know, and it's up to the teams to decide sort of how they're going to, I guess, legislate.
Well, and it's up to the players to say, we're not going to take this.
Exactly.
And that's why the Players Association believes that this is actually going to be a galvanizing moment for a union that has a reputation for not having any sort of unity, that we'll see what this actually means to them.
And I think you're going to also start to see teams, for example, like the Jets, where the owner, Chris Johnson, has promised to pay the fines of players who are found in violation of this new policy. There are going to be teams that emerge as havens for players who want to speak their mind and protest. And there are going to be teams that are seen as, you know, havens for those who don't.
It's hard to imagine that the league wouldn't have known that this was going to be hugely controversial and continue into the season.
They're flaunting it. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
So why do it?
Because it's
power. They recognize once again that they
power marketing. I mean, this is all about protecting the shield. You mentioned $13 billion, $14 billion industry. This is catering to a base. This is catering to the president. I mean, there are all sort of ancillary reasons to do this. That have nothing to do with the
players. And let's also not forget, if you decide to do a little bit of research on this, the number of NFL owners that gave money to the president.
Yes.
So there's a lot of politics behind this.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'm sure we will talk about this again. Howard Bryant, senior writer at ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. His new book is titled The Heritage, Black Athletes, A Divided America, and the Politics of Patriotism. Howard, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Also with us, Shira Springer, sports and society reporter at WBUR. Thanks, Shira. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, local author August Thomas on her debut novel, Liar's Candle. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.